Prayer Altars, A Strategy Changing Nations, Chapter 3. Uganda has a very volatile and violent past, but since 1995, we have experienced many positive changes. We have seen God accomplish many things in our nation. However, around 1998, we started to see darkness growing and getting stronger once again. Many were looking and wondering, what is going on? We started to lose our spiritual momentum, and the darkness began to creep into society again. There was a call to change throughout the nation. Many were saying we need change in our government or in our judicial systems. Others said we need change in our families or in our churches. Some said we need change in our education system. There was a national agreement that we needed change and that it was needed everywhere. However, many confess they did not know where to find the solution. We, the church, though realize where the answer lies. We knew we would continue to backslide and that judgment would continue to increase unless the nation woke up and realized that the angel of judgment was stretching his sword over our nation. Like David, we were being called to stand in the gap and cry out for the Lord's mercy so that we could stay the Lord's judgment and create an atmosphere through which he could come down and continue to work in our nation. The history of Uganda. In the mid-1990s, people around the world heard about national revival that was going on in Uganda, a nation notorious for its difficult and violent past. In the past 24 years between 1962 and 1986, Uganda had 10 presidents, several military coups, bloody war after bloody war, and finally the AIDS outbreak that almost devastated our society. As we were praying and raising up prayer altars all across the nation, we didn't even realize that we were beginning to experience revival. We had been busy seeking God and crying out for his solution to the manifold challenges we were facing. In the many years before 1990, whenever upheaval happened in the nation, the church went to prayer to fight against the bad governance in the land. Then, as the government was ousted and relative peace came with the new regime, the church would sit back and stop praying. We did not realize that each time, because of crying out for God's mercy, he had stayed his hand of judgment. He was waiting for an altar to be built, for an atmosphere to be created for him to come and work in the nation. Yet each time change and relief came, the church slid back into slumber and stopped praying. Finally, a new situation arose that had nothing to do with bad governance or evil leaders destroying the nation. The AIDS epidemic wasn't like anything we had ever encountered before. In the late 1980s, the World Health Organization reported that Uganda was the nation worst hit by the AIDS virus. The report was extremely depressing. HIV and AIDS prevalence levels were at 36%. The report said that by the year 2000, 30% of the entire population would be dead from AIDS, 30% would be infected by the virus, and the rest would be very old people and very young people, among whom there were to be numerous AIDS babies. The sword of judgment hung over the nation. The church went into a time of seeking God in fasting and prayer, mainly asking God, what is wrong with our country? Why is it that bad things always happen to Uganda? When Idi Amin ruled us, we had bloodshed. Then Milton Obote came and killed people. The guerrilla soldiers ousted him, and killing followed. There was heinous murder, bloodshed, and death in the north of Uganda, with Joseph Kony and the Lord's resistant army. Now we had AIDS. It wasn't war or bad leadership, but a disease that was killing us. There was no human leader who could be blamed for this particular disaster. We had to search beyond human enemies and to press further into God. During this time, God revealed to us that it was the same devil using different tactics to steal, kill, and destroy. God's purpose for Uganda. God told us, you are a weak church because you do not know your enemy. You think Idi Amin, Milton Obote, or the rebel soldiers are your enemy. But it is the devil who is your enemy at all times. And he is using different weapons to destroy the nation. He is the one who came through the region, killing people, using leaders. Now he has changed tactics and he is using AIDS to kill your nation. He has only three agendas: to steal, kill, and destroy. People are not your target. The devil and his work against you are your target. In His mercy, God allowed us to see the threatening hand of judgment that continued to hang over our nation and invited us to do something to bring His intervention. The atmosphere that He had desired to work in had to be created. So we began to ask Him how to create that atmosphere. What we were to do, the vision. Together with a group of other Christian leaders, we had been crying out to God. What is the way forward for Uganda? Why do such challenging things happen to Uganda so often? Even the outside world thinks that Ugandans are self-destructive. They think we are killing ourselves. Neighboring countries like Tanzania and Kenya had closed their borders to us. We were stigmatized by the whole world for having trouble and trauma as our perpetual bedfellows. During this lesson, Seasons of Seeking the Lord, I, John Melende, received a vision. I saw myself with other colleagues in the ministry going to Lake Victoria for a fishing expedition. We reached the lake and cast out our net. After some time, there seemed to be a catch, and we began pulling up the net. But it was too heavy, and the team members were very few. I said to them, "Go back to the ministry center and call the rest of our colleagues to help us pull this net out of the water. This is a very big catch." As the workers started to leave, I heard a voice telling them, "John, the work is too big for you. You cannot do it as any one ministry or denomination or church. Call everyone you can, those who are near, those who are far away, as many as are willing to help." I called back to my colleagues and I told them, "Go to everyone from every ministry who is willing to come. Go to those who are near and those who are far to ask them to come and help us pull this net out of the water." After some time, many people started to come to the lake. Some were in small groups, others were in big groups. Each group came with two things, a name and a rope. The people were from different ministries and churches, and each group came under its own name or identity. Some were from Full Gospel Church, others were from the Lutheran Church. There were Catholics, Anglicans, Baptists, Methodists, and many others. There were many, many churches and ministries, and their names were written on their placards and banners. Some came in groups of hundreds, others came in groups of tens or fives. When each group reached the lake, they tied their rope to the net and started to help pull it out. It was heavy work, but everyone worked together, and the whole group managed to get the net out of the water. To our amazement, when the net came out of the water, there were no fish. However, there was a big rock in the shape of the map of Uganda. I wondered, it is not a catch of fish, but what does it mean? I heard a voice telling me, "John, give me a net and I will fish your nation out of troubled waters." I came out of the vision, went into prayer and asked God, "What do you mean by a net? What about the other people who came with their ministries and their names?" God said, "If you will institute a network of united prayer all over the nation of Uganda, you will be able to conquer the evil principalities ruling over your nation. If you grasp this vision, which goes beyond your ministry and denominational boundaries, so that you can see the bigger picture of my purpose for Uganda, you will be able to overcome the evil principalities and establish my kingdom in Uganda." God told me, "I have many people in many denominations, even in places you cannot imagine. They are in the Lutheran, Pentecostal, Anglican, Baptist, Protestant, and Catholic churches, and in numerous other ministries. Every single ministry, denomination, and church has a particular anointing. I have posted people there so that as you come together in unity of purpose, they will come with their unique ministry, anointing, covering, and mantles on their lives. In coming together like that, there will be a greater corporate anointing on the people because of the unity between the different churches, denominations, and ministries. Under that covering, you will have greater legal ground to come against the principalities ruling over your nation. That is why I told you to call those who are near and those who are far away to join together. No ministry, church, or denomination, no matter how big, could ever single-handedly do the work of bringing my kingdom into any nation. It must be the whole body of Christ." I asked, "God, how can we do this?" And He said, "I already have in different parts of your nation. You will work with them. If you go out and share this vision with them, many will come out and work together with you. It does not mean they will turn away from their denominations, churches, or ministries, but I will use them right where they are to build the net of prayer. Build me an altar." We started going out on missions, mobilizing people in various ministries, churches, and denominations to pray together, but we did not know how to institute this net of prayer. As the time of seeking God continued, I began asking God, "How shall we make a net of prayer all over the land of Uganda?" The Lord answered, I am calling for every individual Christian to start praying. Let every Christian family start praying together, and let there be prayer going in every church. Let Christians start prayer in their workplace. By doing that, you will be giving me legal ground to work in your land. I had never heard the terms legal ground or legal authority. As I pondered these new terms and the biblical basis for what God was telling us, he said, I am not showing you a new thing. It has happened in the Bible. Just as you saw the fishing net woven together, the two threads meet there is a knot. Imagine a net over your entire nation, and then imagine every knot as a prayer altar in your nation. God then brought to memory the strategy he had led Abraham to use to take the land of Canaan, what we call the Abrahamic strategy. He told Abraham, go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. He then said to me, go to the north, south, east, and west. Wherever you go throughout your nation, set up altars of prayer and call on the name of the Lord. God was saying, build me an altar and I will rescue your nation. God spoke to us about this new strange strategy he would use to save our nation, a net of prayer that would be formed by people praying individually and within groups in various parts of the nation. This would create a spiritual atmosphere that would give God legal authority, legal ground to intervene in the affairs of Uganda and save our nations from total devastation caused by poor leadership and its attendant complications, as well as from the more destructive AIDS pandemic. The Abrahamic strategy of taking the land through building up prayer altars is very powerful. It creates an atmosphere in which God can work and is effective for years and years. Today, even if nations fight against Israel, no matter how many come against her, they cannot take the land. This is because there was a man who went through the land setting up prayer altars, taking the land for the kingdom of the living God. At this time, I received this vision. I had never stepped outside of Uganda, not even to the neighboring East African nations. It had never entered my imagination that I would ever go anywhere beyond the boundaries of Uganda. And yet God told me, as you build prayer altars throughout the land and continue to come to me as individuals, families, and churches, as the people of God standing in the gap for this nation, you will begin to see a tide of darkness broken and my presence drawn into this land. This is the strategy you will use, not only in Uganda, but also in every nation to which I send you. These nations, too, will need to use this strategy to purge the land, prepare spiritual ground, and call upon my presence. You will only find success in what you are doing in the physical realm after you have won the battle in the spiritual realm, taking the land. When we obediently begin to walk through the land of Uganda, teaching, preaching, and raising prayer altars in various households, communities, churches, and villages, and ultimately raised up a nation of prayer altars, we did not realize what was happening in the spiritual atmosphere over our nation. As individuals came to recognize that they were priests unto God and that they were called to minister to the Lord at his altar, they began to pray with renewed energy and fire, and prayer increased in the nation. They began to build prayer altars in their homes, offices, institutions of learning, church buildings, and community centers. They were creating openings in the spiritual realm. A fire of prayer was touching every aspect of our society, creating an environment where the presence of God was drawn into those places. It also began to push back the darkness, the corruption, worldly mindsets, sin, and other forms of darkness that were eroding our society. The covering of destruction that had been thrown over the nation by Satan and his agents to hinder the communion between heaven and earth was being punctured as each group of people raised up intercession, spiritual warfare, and supplication for Uganda. These numerous punctures soon perforated the covering of darkness over the nation, and it was broken open, meaning that the Holy Spirit could flow through the nation and touch every area of society at unprecedented levels. The prayer altars are still going strong 20 years later. The heavens over Uganda have remained open, largely to the influence of the kingdom of God because of the prayer altars that have been built. We see evidence of this manifesting in many ways. There is prayer in the lives of the people of God, in the marketplace, in all the families. Young people have started prayer altars on college campuses, and business people have established prayer altars in their workplaces. Godly laws are much more likely to be discussed and passed by the members of parliament and in government offices. There is a great unity in the body of Christ to deal with the important issues and circumstances in our nation. The spiritual atmosphere of the land has changed, and the hand of judgment that was looming against Uganda has been turned away. The rate of incidence of AIDS went from the highest in the world, 36%, to the lowest in Africa, 6%. Uganda has been blessed by the stable and godly government for a few decades. Corruption has dramatically declined in all sectors of society, especially in the banking system and the political arena. Prayer altars have been established in every form of industry and throughout government. Prayer has become a lifestyle of the people of Uganda. And although there is still a lot of work to do and changes that need to be made, the potential remains to totally transform the nation of Uganda if the church will continue with the level of intercession they started all those years ago. Prayer altars are powerful. They can push back darkness, change the spiritual atmosphere in cities and in nations, and bring redemption to elements of society that were eroding. They can bring about the purpose of God and produce tangible fruits of the kingdom of God flowing into the lives of the people of that land. Prayer altars are vital to not only stay the hand of judgment that are coming against our land, but also to see a great move of God's Spirit upon the land, bringing about a harvest of righteousness and peace. Altars can open the heavens. It takes a continuously active altar to keep the fire of prayer going up to the Lord. My prayer is to see heaven in my nation and other nations around the world open as the righteous continue to offer effective, fervent prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17. This is the conclusion of chapter 3.